This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Saving the summit. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, May 29. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After it appeared the planned summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un might be off, there are signs it might be on again.
Along the Gulf Coast, Alberto has been downgraded to a subtropical depression, but not after ruining a lot of Memorial Day events.
A member of the National Guard is missing after flash floods inundated Ellicott City, Maryland, just west of Baltimore.
And much like airports these days, airport hotels are starting to offer some pretty cool perks.
For years, they've been kind of, sleepy barns. I mean, just dreadful and dreary in some cases. There have been a few that really went upscale, and they did extremely well. And so we're seeing more and more hotel companies building swank four-star facilities at airports.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney on airport hotels starting to become hip and cool. He's here in about 20 minutes. Momentum appears to be swinging back in favor of a summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Part of the effort includes the U.S. deciding to defer ramping up major new sanctions against Pyongyang. The White House was prepared to announce a new round of them today, but chose yesterday to indefinitely delay them as talks continue.
I think there's a lot of goodwill. I think people want to see if we can get the meeting and get something done. If we got that done and if we can be successful in the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
The Wall Street Journal says the Treasury Department had prepared a sanctions package aimed at nearly three dozen targets, including Russian and Chinese entities. Talks between the U.S. and North Korean delegations were set to take place through tomorrow. The original summit date was June 12 in Singapore. Teams from both countries arrived there yesterday. The U.S. wants complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization by North Korea. Meanwhile, Bloomberg News is reporting that one of Mr. Kim's top aides is set to arrive in New York tomorrow for summit talks. Let's get more now from Andrew Jung, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Seoul, South Korea. He's with us live this morning. Andrew, as day turns into evening there in South Korea, catch us up today. What are you hearing?
Well, you mentioned the trip by the North Korean general to the U.S. He will be flying out tomorrow, Asia time, which means he will be arriving there in now. Meanwhile, in South Korea, the discussions regarding the current nuclear deal that's being discussed by diplomats from the U.S. and North Korea was mute in Seoul and other areas today. I think we're all waiting for what the general has to say in the U.S. once he arrives there, because he is considered one of the most top aides to Kim Jong-un. He is familiar with what North Korea wants. So I guess we're all watching for what he has to say once he arrives in the U.S.
Yeah, because he was in China with a couple of these meetings with Mr. Kim, correct?
Yes, he was there. He was also with Kim Jong-un during the inter-Korean summits in April and just last week as well. He was here in South Korea for the closing ceremony of the Winter Olympics. He sat just behind Ivanka Trump. So, you know, some people might recognize him, but he is indeed one of the central figures of the ongoing discussion.
Anybody at this point kind of putting odds on whether or not the summit will occur June 12?
Well, I think the uncertainty there is still looming, and it's going to loom until it happens because of what we can't expect from the current administration in Washington. We also have the usual uncertainty from Pyongyang. So, I mean, I think we're all going to be on our toes until the summit really does happen. And then there's also the fundamental disagreements between North Korea and the U.S. regarding what exactly denuclearization means. Like, does it mean North Korea gives up everything, as Washington officials have been saying, or does it mean what the North Koreans seem to be suggesting, meaning they get to keep kind of some of their arsenal, and they get some sort of guarantee from Washington that the regime there is going to be kept intact.
Is this basically what the talks are about at this point?
Well, I guess that's we're all speculating here because we're not sitting in the, inside those talks, but we're being briefed by people that have knowledge of them. And I think the speculation is that on the one hand, yes, that could be the case, but on the other hand, we're all hoping for the best. I mean, maybe the North Koreans are leaning in towards what the rest of the world is thinking, meaning they're really contemplating giving up their nuclear weapons, as it has been suggested by the South Koreans and some people in Washington. But there are the optimists as well as the pessimists.
Mm. We're speaking live this morning with Andrew Jung, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Seoul, South Korea. This dismantling of a nuclear or missile site that occurred in the past few days, anything being made of that?
Well, the conservatives here in South Korea are really skeptical about what that means. If you look back on North Korea 10 years ago, they did something similar with their nuclear facilities in Yongbyon, and they blew that up. And I think the suspicion is that maybe this is all a show, because the nuclear site that they destroyed in Punggye-ri, there's suspicion that it's already been overused, that they were going to do it anyways, and they're all doing it for a show. But on the other hand, you have people saying, hey, I mean, they did have two new tunnels, which is, of course, according to Kim Jong-un. And they're saying that even if this is all suspicion, and the suspicions are true, the North Koreans are still making some sort of effort to show that they're willing to talk, they're willing to scrap at least a part of their nuclear arsenal. So, again, in that debate as well, I think we also have the optimists as well as the pessimists.
Mm. And just, I guess, what's behind all this? I guess, Mr. Kim's seemingly willingness to meet with Mr. Trump. Is it the idea that there's prosperity in the works, perhaps, for either him or the country, or this would help preserve the Kim dynasty, a little of both?
I think the initial argument when Kim Jong-un first came out in earlier this year for talks was that, you know, the sanctions were working, his regime was struggling, and he was coming out to get some sort of aid package in return for scrapping part of his arsenal. But now I think the debate has turned into more of a argument about, you know, what does it mean for Kim Jong-un? Like, does he think that this is his only long-term solution to surviving on a long-run basis? Meaning he's only in his 30s, so I'm assuming he wants to live up to his 80s and 90s, yeah, and perhaps a century. So the argument there is that Kim Jong-un is coming out, setting up some sort of deal now that he has his nuclear arsenal so that he can maintain his power on a more, I guess, stable environment than maybe his father, who ruled from the mid-90s until 2011, did, or maybe even his grandfather did, who ruled right after World War II until 1994 when he died.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the insight. Appreciate a few minutes. Andrew Jung, Wall Street Journal reporter, with us live this morning from Seoul, South Korea. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Subtropical storm Alberto has been downgraded to a subtropical depression. The announcement from the National Hurricane Center came last night, hours after making landfall along the Florida Panhandle. Still, heavy rains are expected with up to 12 inches possible over in parts of the Florida Panhandle and Alabama. The storm is expected to continue moving through Alabama today, then slide across the Tennessee Valley and into the Ohio Valley and Great Lakes region tomorrow and Thursday. Meanwhile, two journalists for an NBC affiliate in Greenville, South Carolina, were killed in the storm in Polk County, North Carolina. Tryon Fire Chief Jeffrey Tennant there says a tree fell on the vehicle of WYFF television.
The vehicle was apparently in motion, yes, because when we got to the vehicle, the engine was running. And the transmission was in drive.
The journalists were identified as anchor Mike McCormick and photographer Aaron Smeltzer. Alberto, the first named storm of 2018, got an early jump on the Atlantic hurricane season, which technically begins Friday. Well, the flooding you only expect once every 1,000 years has now occurred twice over the past 2 years in Ellicott City, Maryland, about 15 miles west of Baltimore. Sudden violent floodwaters destroyed businesses, submerged vehicles, and left some cars and trucks flipped and in pieces after heavy rain on Sunday. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan.
It's really, truly devastating. I would say it's as bad or worse than the storm 2 years ago.
Meanwhile, rescuers are searching for a 39-year-old National Guard member who was reportedly swept away by fast-moving floodwaters while attempting to rescue people during the floods. Edison Hermond of Severn, Maryland, was reportedly helping people around 4 p.m. Sunday in Ellicott City. Officials said he was holding a door to a restaurant closed until he and others left to assist a woman whose cat had gone missing.
He took a couple of steps in and it just swept him away.
Witnesses said they saw Mr. Hermond go underwater. Officials say at least 300 people were assisted and at least two dozen were stranded or rescued. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, a team of American diplomats involved in preparatory discussions about a potential summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is in a Seoul hotel, possibly to continue talks with their North Korean counterparts. And there are reports that one of Kim Jong-un's most senior officials is on his way to the U.S. Israel's national security advisor arrives in Washington today for talks with his U.S. counterpart John Bolton. Topic number one will be Iran. Subtropical storm Alberto is being blamed for two deaths in North Carolina. It washed out Memorial Day for much of the southeast and could drop 4 to 8 inches of rain from the Florida Panhandle into parts of Alabama and western Georgia as it hangs around the region into midweek. A separate storm system raked the mid-Atlantic over the weekend. Ellicott City, Maryland was swamped by a river that rose by 17 feet in just 2 hours. Off-duty Army National Guardsman Edison Hermond was swept away as he tried to help rescue people from floodwaters. Wildwood, New Jersey's Commissioner of Public Safety Weinman says a woman shown being punched by a police officer in a now viral video actually assaulted one of the officers first by kicking him in the groin and then running away. This is Police Chief Robert Regalbuto.
Don't judge every police officer, whether it's in New Jersey or across the country, by what you see in a video. You know, you don't have the full story. So let's see what the full story is and we'll go from there.
20-year-old Emily Weinman is charged with aggravated assault by spitting bodily fluids at a police officer, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, obstruction, and being a minor in possession of alcohol. Starbucks closes more than 8,000 stores this afternoon for racial bias training for its employees. It comes after inappropriate management conduct led to the arrest of two black men waiting for a friend last month at a Philadelphia location. After Golden State again rallied in the second half to beat the Houston Rockets 101-92 in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, Warriors coach Steve Kerr remarked it was one of the most bizarre first halves of basketball they'd played in his 4 years as head coach.
I walked in at halftime. I said, I don't even recognize this team. We've been together for 4 years. I didn't recognize the group that we were seeing, but sometimes you forget, you know, Game 7, you get some nerves and there's so much nervous energy.
The Warriors face LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of the final Thursday.
Thank you, Rasa. 24 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Like airports themselves, airport hotels are going upscale. Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney spotted the trend. Scott, what are you seeing?
It's really interesting. It turns out that airport hotels do really well financially. And for years, they've been kind of, sleepy barns. I mean, just dreadful and dreary in some cases. There have been a few that really went upscale, and they did extremely well. And so we're seeing more and more airports really building, or airport or hotel companies building swank four-star facilities at airports. If they do even better if they're actually connected and you can walk, and so it's a great place for meetings. It turns out to be a place where people want to have weddings. There can be all kinds of activities, plus you have the regular crowd of travelers who use the airport hotel.
Wow. An airport hotel, that's cool, even as, like a 737 roars overhead as you're sipping a drink poolside?
Well, yes. The Hilton at Amsterdam has a spa and sauna and steam rooms. The the Fairmont at Vancouver's airport. They have a fish valet. They'll with a freezer. They'll store your catch until departure. You know, they're just I think the Grand Hyatt at DFW in this country is built right on top of the international terminal at DFW Airport. The elevators open right to the TSA checkpoint.
Wow.
And that kind of convenience has really made it very popular. Denver opened a Westin connected to the terminal, and they have all kinds of things. It becomes a destination unto itself. They can arrange to, you know, play golf nearby and all kinds of things that you'd get at sort of a regular full-service hotel, but it happens to be at the airport.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney, 30 minutes now after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Nobody wants to be left in the dark. But shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and the data on your devices? The digital world is so full of connections, it may only take one weak link for criminals to get in. Fortunately, new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet, like ransomware. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices that you may not see on your own. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com today and enter the promo code Gordon. That's LifeLock.com and the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, May 29. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Signs the summit between Trump and Kim may be revived. Devastating floods in Ellicott City, Maryland. Alberto downgraded to a subtropical depression along the Gulf Coast, but will leave heavy rains. Classes resume at Santa Fe High School outside Houston today, 11 days after a gunman killed 10 people there. Warriors over the Rockets in Game 7. Vegas beats Washington Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. And the next superfood trend, cockroach milk. That story in about 20 minutes. Got a kid in high school with plans on going to college. There are probably tons of things they're not learning to prepare them for the next 4 years. Mark Beal, managing partner at the PR firm Taylor in New York City, has written a new book from students' perspectives entitled 101 Lessons They Didn't Teach You in High School About Going to College. He tapped his resources as a part-time professor at Rutgers. Mark, what have you put together?
Current college students are giving kind of a manual of lessons and advice to high school seniors and juniors and saying, don't make the same mistakes. Here's how to do it. Here's how I did it. This will help you tremendously.
One of the ones that jumped out at me was lesson 31 from this woman at Pace University. She said, one of the easiest things to do in college is to follow the pack. Don't do it. She was talking about being a leader. What was she saying there?
Yeah, she just graduated from Pace University, and she said, it's so easy on campus to, you know, kind of just fall in with the group. You know, my classmates or my roommates aren't going to class today. They're going to sleep in. I'm going to sleep in. Or we're not going to go to this club or to this activity or do this. And take the exact opposite approach. She said, lead by example. Go to class. Go to guest lectures. Join clubs. And she goes, you'll inspire others to follow you, and it'll have kind of this contagious effect where others will be like, well, I should be doing that too. I should be taking full advantage of everything that's here on campus and not just be kind of class, sleep, party.
There was, I think, a lesson probably I could have learned, and that was lesson 23, never let a grade get you down. This might have been a kid you had at Rutgers, Alec Prieto. And what I thought was interesting, too, he was basically saying, don't get overwhelmed here with a single grade. And then you had an author's note on that one where you talked about how you reacted positively to a student who took the initiative to communicate. I mean, how big of a deal can that be?
It's tremendous, and you know, Alec is a great student. He's in the just best among the best. But you're absolutely right. You know, it's those students who go out of their way. They proactively come to me as a professor at Rutgers University, and sometimes it might be in reaction or in response to a poor grade, and you know, what can I do more? But the way they do it, the fact that they're doing during the semester, not when you know grades are about to be posted, and say, oh, by the way, can I do some extra credit? And I think the point there is, you're right, there's many quizzes, many tests, many lessons in 4 years, many graded assignments, but don't let any one in particular get you down, but also use any of those that you didn't do as well on as a lesson learned, and then build on it and engage your professor, befriend your professor.
Mm. We're speaking with Mark Beal, managing partner of the PR firm Taylor, based in New York City. He's written another book called 101 Things They Never Taught You in High School About Going to College. It's a follow-up to a book he wrote a year ago called 101 Things They Never Taught You About in College. What surprised you when some of these submissions started coming in? Was there one that you just thought, man, I never considered that?
Well, the one that seems to get a lot of attention is Lesson 72, which it doesn't require a party to have fun. And I know the exact student who gave me that lesson, she graduated a week ago from college. And the point was, you know, you hear about college and you hear about classes and parties. And what she's saying is just today's college experience is so much more. It's not just about waking up and going to classes and not just about a Thursday or Friday night party. There is so much your campus, no matter big or small across this country, has to offer you in the form of, again, guest lectures, clubs, extracurricular activities, community involvement. She goes, take advantage of all of that. Take advantage of all that, because you don't want to graduate and look back and say, boy, I didn't take advantage of any of these things. I just went to class and I went to parties and that was it. So She made a point just to say that there's so much going on today on college campuses. Take advantage of it. You're paying tuition. You're paying to be there.
Yeah.
Take advantage of everything and start the day you arrive on campus. Don't wait till sophomore, junior year. Start that freshman year.
All right. So to that point, that was a lesson I was going to ask you about, lesson 69, where somebody said, ready your resume freshman year.
I've noticed over the last couple of years that students are more proactive in networking, in securing internships as early as freshman year, even some between high school and freshman year, and preparing that resume. You know, it seemed to be perhaps a pattern was, I've graduated, now how do I get a job? And I've just noticed that more and more students are proactive in getting the experience and even thinking about their resume freshman year, so that by the time they graduate, it's substantive, it's competitive, and they've got a chance of getting that job they're looking for.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Beal, managing partner at the PR firm Taylor in New York City. Again, the book is called 101 Lessons They Didn't Teach You in High School About Going to College. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, in case you were fully focused on fleeing your job for the long holiday weekend, you might have missed this tidbit from Friday. Candy Company is seeking an intern to essentially be a paid candy tester. The Mars Wrigley Company posted a job opening seeking applicants for what they are calling the world's sweetest internship in Chicago. The posting says the company is seeking a confectionery connoisseur whose duties would include sampling the company's chocolate gum and confections, including several varieties not yet available to the public, and producing a personalized batch of chewing gum. The paid intern would be required to chronicle their 8 to 12 week experience with the company on social media. The position, which includes a year's worth of candy as a signing bonus, features a few unusual qualifications for an ideal candidate, including being able to distinguish all 5 fruity flavors from the Skittles rainbow in a blind taste test. Ideal candidates should also be able to blow bubbles with chewing gum that are greater than 5 inches in diameter.
Wow.
I think I might be able to pull off both of those, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think definitely the Skittles thing. I'm pretty good at discerning my Skittles. And the bubble gum, it depends on the gum. I think you have to have the right kind of gum to pull that off.
I would agree.
It can't be some piece of gum out of like a baseball card pack or something like that.
So you could determine all 5 fruity flavors?
I think I might be able to. Yeah.
Do you have that kind of taste like with wine? Can you determine like a Cabernet from a Merlot, for example? Or something?
No, I think this skill really only translates
just
to
candy.
Skittles and candy in general.
All right,
fruit flavored candies.
So you'd be a candidate.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I'll give it a go.
Do you think you would take a sabbatical from this job if
you were offered that opportunity?
You have to ask that question. Would I take a sabbatical from this job to go be a candy taste tester with a year's worth of candy?
No brainer.
Dropped off at my door.
No brainer.
Yeah, I'll see you in the fall.
All right.
And speaking of sweets, Gordon, a potentially sweet situation quickly turned sour for a Massachusetts man over the weekend. Police in Methuen responded to a security alarm at a Dunkin' Donuts shop on Sunday morning and saw surveillance footage of a man pushing through the drive-thru window and climbing into the store. Before he could get his hands on any Boston creams or even a handful of munchkins, he apparently turned right around and left from the same window. Police posted the security footage to Facebook. No word on whether the man managed to steal anything from the store.
Hmm.
So you don't really know why that happened exactly now. turned around and left. But here's what would happen. This could happen if it was me, for instance. You know, Dunkin' Donuts, occasionally they take their chocolate frosted donuts and they turn them different colors for holidays and things. Sometimes it's pink for Valentine's Day or red, white, and blue for 4th of July. Well, in local Dunkin' Donuts near where we are here, occasionally they do things for sports teams.
Yes.
So you go in there and they're all turned green for the Philadelphia Eagles, for instance. So if I was to go in and I was to see nothing but Philadelphia Eagles green chocolate frosted donuts, that would probably have me turning around and walking right out the door.
You would pound them with your fist.
Yes.
And just leave them for others to figure out.
Yes. I don't know if something like that happened in this situation, but for me, that would be enough for me to turn around and walk right out without a donut in my hand.
On the way back from a soccer tournament in Maryland this weekend, we hit a Dunkin' Donuts in Bethesda. I had two. Because I've now achieved like my ideal weight with this workout routine I've done lately.
Yes, you have.
But now all bets are off. I am back on the chips, cookies, and donuts bandwagon.
It's been too
long.
And
I'm all in. I had two donuts. A toasted coconut and like a chocolate with chocolate and chocolate.
You know what I call two donuts? A good start, Gordon.
My son, by the way, had four donuts.
Wow.
En route to me being father of the year. 13 minutes in front of the hour. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you could join us. Welcome into Tuesday. This summer could burn a hole in your pocket. A new report from Capital One says Americans are expected to spend an average $305 more on socializing this season than they do during any other time of year. The study found 87% of us drop more dough once the temperature rises. Going out to eat is taking the biggest bite out of most people's budgets, with 77% of millennials treating themselves to restaurant dishes more often now compared to the rest of the year. Also, be aware of this. Moneyish.com says summertime staples like wine and lobster are expected to be more expensive this summer. Lobster rolls are crawling closer to $50 a piece this summer due to bad weather plaguing New England fishermen, with whole hard-shell lobster prices running up to $16 per pound this spring compared to $7 to $10 per pound last year. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, in Polk County, North Carolina, two people were killed when a tree fell on their vehicle as subtropical storm Alberto, strong surf, powerful wind gusts, and heavy rain swamped the southeast. Alberto prompted mandatory evacuation orders for thousands of Florida's coastal residents, with the rest of the state and Alabama and Mississippi under states of emergency from heavy rains today from what is now a subtropical depression. Raging brown waters ripped through the Maryland town of Ellicott City, tumbling parked cars like toys and surging through downtown buildings just rebuilt. Governor Larry Hogan.
They say this is a once every 1,000-year flood, and we had two of them in 2 years.
Sunday, the community took on almost 8 inches of rain over a six-hour period. Most of it fell, though, during an intense 3 hours. A 39-year-old active member of the Army National Guard is missing. President Trump hits the campaign trail this week in rallies and fundraisers for select Republican candidates heading into November's midterm elections. Today, he's in Nashville for Marsha Blackburn, who is running for the Senate in Tennessee.
It's on, but that's okay. I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
Oh, it's true, all right. Solo, A Star Wars Story, struggled to notch $100 million domestically, and it crashed overseas with $65 million on its Memorial Day weekend launch. At its current rate, The Hollywood Reporter says Solo may not gross much more than $400 million total. That'd be a fail for the franchise. Police at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway are not calling the death of a man in one of the parking lots there a homicide. Campers who had stayed the night after the Indianapolis 500 found the dead man in another tent Monday afternoon. Temperatures over the weekend were in the 90s, causing nearly 200 race spectators to be treated for heat-related illness. A migrant from Mali not only being hailed as a hero, he's been given a medal and, most importantly, French citizenship. The video is worth a watch. Mamadou Gassama pulled himself balcony to balcony up the side of a Paris building Saturday evening to save a little boy dangling from the fourth floor. At the Élysée Palace, President Emmanuel Macron personally thanked the man the French are calling Spider-Man and offered him a job with the fire department.
How about that? Wow, good story. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So we had an unusual nutrition update over the weekend. Apparently, cockroach milk is being peddled as a new thing. Experts say a rare milk crystal produced by cockroaches contains human health benefits, and the finding is catching a lot of attention from superfood enthusiasts. ABC News says you won't find the rare crystals inside your average house pest because they are only produced by the Pacific beetle cockroach found in places like Hawaii. The cockroach milk boasts four times as much protein as cow's milk and is packed with essential amino acids. Discovery from the cockroach milk goes back as far as 2 years. No evidence at this point, though, that it's safe for human consumption. Plus, you can imagine that cockroaches are difficult to milk. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.